see it. Let me see it.
I wish Lena would play tug of war with me.
Yeah.
I always win, son. Okay, you got it back. Fine, you win. Asshole.
Asshole. Don't call my dog an asshole. He's literally the goodest of boys.
The goodest of boys.
The goodest of boys. You know what has changed since being married? I cannot stand my job. Literally, like, I was, like, Tuesday, I was great. I was doing great. I was vibing. I got sent to 52, but I had, like, a good fucking day. Good fucking day. Good shift. Solid all around. My night assistant walked in, and they're like, wow, I've never had a store that was left for me that was this good. Nice. And I was like, fuck yeah. Cool. I'm, like, I knew I could do this. I knew I was ready for this.
Where were you?
52.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I was on the other side of the fucking universe.
It's my side.
I know.
I'm actually further.
I know.
Much further.
I know. But I was doing good. I was so happy. And then the first night that I, or the first time I had to sleep, not in the same bed as Kyle for in the last 2 weeks, I broke down.
Yeah.
I cried. I didn't want to go back to work. I was like, I don't want to. And then I partialed and then I got it.
Nice. I saw that.
Yeah, but then
she partialed Thursday.
She partialed Thursday. Yeah, well, I talked her into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think I want to deal with other people? No. I understand Chris's type of grouchy. I don't want to deal with other people's kind of grouchy.
True. Very true.
Yeah. So, hey guys, guess what? I got married. That's probably why you guys are mad that we haven't had an episode in 2 weeks. I'm sorry.
It's been a long month.
Dude. Okay. But I'm not doing wedding planning anymore. I'm not worried about any of that anymore. I'm not doing any last minute bullshittery crafts to try and what. None of that. None of that. I'm done. It's all you guys. That's it. My whole focus now is this podcast.
And me.
And quitting.
And quitting your job.
Quitting my job.
Good for you. You want to plan my wedding?
Yeah, I can do that. You gotta pay me though.
$7.25 an hour. It's federal minimum wage, isn't it?
It's better than it's better than nothing.
It's not even livable, bro.
No, I know. Well, I don't know. I was looking at stuff the other night and I was like, $15 a fucking hour? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Kenza had to settle for a lot less. And she was about to hit her 2-year mark.
Fuck.
She settled for 13.
Where?
This doggy daycare place.
But that's going to be so good for her.
I know it is. And she's going to be happy and she's going to enjoy it. But like,
are you prepared for all of the very annoying? Well, and then this dog did this and it was so cute. And then this dog did that and it was so cute. And they're best friends. And
I'm just glad it's not a shelter because then she won't bring them home because they're actually other people's dogs. Yeah. So if she brought them home, she'd go to jail for
dog napping. Is it like Camp Dog Wow or some shit?
It's so they do... like daycare, like they'll drop them off in the morning and pick them up, and then they do boarding as well.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then they do grooming as well.
Oh, okay.
And apparently from what Kenza said was like they'll train her in like all the areas. Like she'll start out basically doing grunt work, you know, yeah, watching the dogs, cleaning up after them, that type of thing. Yeah. And then they'll like actually teach her how to do other things.
Sounds like a daycare, but better.
Yeah. And they have a little, they have a store there, and apparently she gets a discount at the store, so.
So Lennon's about to get so many plushies.
Yeah, well, yeah, no. No, he doesn't need anything.
That's adorable.
He doesn't need anything. He has a shoe rack full of toys. Got and you know what he plays with? The shoe rack.
A bucket.
And a bucket that he's thrown away because it's like, I'm finding little bits of pieces of plastic everywhere. Oh. He's tearing it apart.
Kyle and I thought about it and we're like, we should just go through all of Otto's stuff. Because, like, he has favorite toys. He has, like, 2 or 3 favorites. And those are always, yeah, the ones that he'll bring to you. Like, right now, his favorite is the flamingo. He also, we just got him a spooky Puppuccino plushie.
Nice.
So, he's playing with that one right now. And then he always loves his pirate. And then there's a scare beetle. And then beyond all of that, like, no.
It's just there if he can't find the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how Lennon's is. But then again, he has a little Santa Claus, and he only plays with it during Christmas time. It's like he knows.
That's adorable.
And he has this one little toy that Gabby got for him that he's ripped to pieces, and it's just like the
tiny little corner,
the shell of it. Yeah, because it was only like this big. It was like she won it at a fair.
It's like about the size of an orange.
Yeah. And he like ripped out. He would like sleep on it, but like he'll still play with the little piece of like the fabric.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
It is very sad, isn't it? Whatever.
Yeah. So, okay. On Wednesday night, we had just come back from our big work meeting, which is the cult meeting where they tell you how good our company is and how it's not really their company, it's our company, because we own the stocks, and this is what they're going to do with our money this year to reinvest into our company. All the culty stuff, right? And at the very end, they make you wait until the very end. They tell you who they're going to take to Hawaii. Well, I was talking to... I did not win. I never win. I don't win shit. No, but that one person who never fucking shows up to work won, so that's cool.
Right.
Anyways.
Bullshit.
Anyways. But I was talking about that to somebody because they were interested in applying. And then they were like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, it's all right. Just don't drink the Kool-Aid. And they thought that was funny and they moved on. And then the person who was in line behind them was like, but like, if you were going to Hawaii, you'd bring me, right? And I'd be like, no. Mm-hmm. But he walked up all schmoozy-like, and I just took one look at him, and I was like, yeah, you'd have to fight my husband over that spot, and he plays dirty when it comes to that kind of fight. And he's, I was just kidding. Like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So was I.
Uh-huh.
It's not my fault you took it personally. Slapped his $20 on the counter, told me his pump number, and walked out. Like.
That's funny. Gotta love him.
Like, that's fine. You're valid, like, your emotions are valid, my dude, but don't come at me like that and then be mad when I meet that energy.
Fact.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Like, to all the guys out there, that's fine. Shoot your shot. That's cool.
Do you want me to
get
mad?
But don't get mad if no is your answer. Yeah. Please.
And when I go, oh, I'm a lesbian and I have a girlfriend, don't go, well, you never been with the right dude. I will literally murder you and your entire family in their sleep.
But again, shoot your shot. Like, nobody's giving you shit for that.
Right, for sure. It's a compliment.
Fine. It really is.
As long as you're not creepy about it. Or call me baby. One more dude calls me, hey, baby girl. I don't know what it is about this store that I'm at, but it's you know, baby it's girl. Really- and I'm like, I will.
It's really funny because, like, some stores, all I get is baby doll. Sometimes all I get is mama.
See, that doesn't... It depends who says it.
So, like, okay. Because
sometimes that's, like a sign of respect.
A slightly older, like, a Hispanic or Mexican or, like, that kind of genre of woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, hun. You call me mama.
They call you, Mija?
Mija.
Yep. That, I'm just like, oh,
Specifically from, like, the older generation Mexican women.
Yeah.
Yes. Any man above the age of 40 or like under the age of 30, no, you're hitting on me and I don't like it. For some reason, 30-year-olds are always married and look like they're going through a divorce actively and don't have time for your shit.
Is that what I look like?
Are you a man?
In my past life, I was.
Probably.
I was. No, really, I was.
Oh,
yeah, I know about it. That's a good story. I had to take a lot of drugs to figure it out, but I mean, you know.
If that's what it takes, I'll never know.
Well, where's your birthmark? Okay, we're literally underneath a sheet and it's dark. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's shattered. Yeah. No. Okay, we'll look at it later.
I have a crescent moon on my jaw.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So which is funny because it's the antithesis of the moon that I was born on. So, like, my moon is mostly full with a little bit of black. So that little bit of black
is what's on there. Birthmark. Yeah. Nice. All right. Let's start the real topic.
Oh, yeah, huh. I forgot. I actually do have to talk about dead people, huh? Whoopsies.
Though I do think, so maybe we could do, like, another podcast where we just kind of, like, talk shit, and we can call it shit talking.
Well, you see, I have a Patreon that has a sub-level of just...
Oh, us bullshitting?
Emphasis on the casual. Yeah. And so if you want to do more episodes of us just bullshitting, we can, and that can be more fuel for our what's it called? Patreon.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so get ready for a bit of a doozy. A little bit of a doozy. Because we're going to be talking about Kim Wall.
We didn't do the Welcome to Casual.
Oh, shit! I forgot.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Casual Casualties, where we talk about casualties.
Casually.
I'm Bree.
And I'm Holly.
And I apparently am still slightly on vacation.
And did not want to do an intro to today's show after we've already bullshitted for 35 minutes.
Only 20.
Oh, only 20.
I'm going to cut it down a little bit.
Okay, do it. Let's go. I'm going to be quiet. Just start making random noises.
I was waiting for it. Alrighty, so now today we're going to talk about Kim Isabel Frederica Wall. So Kim Wall, who was born March 22nd, 1987, which actually makes her an Aries. I know as soon as I hear the word March, I'm like, oh, Pisces! No, she's an Aries.
Gross.
Which is a fire sign.
Bitches. Sorry. Bad experience.
So, there's another podcast that I listen to, Casual, or I almost just said our name, no, Morbid.
Okay.
And one of the girls is a Gemini.
Oh, God.
And my knee-jerk response is, fucking Geminis! Now, I feel like that because my mother is a Gemini, and bad experiences, yo. I also have had quite a few negative experiences with friends that were Geminis.
Yeah, same.
Co-workers that were, like, they always just rub me the wrong fucking way, and they always fuck me over every single time.
Oh. Now, and usually females, because, like, I have, like, one male friend who's, like, a Gemini, and I know, like, if I called him right now, like, he would fly from Ohio to here.
Mm.
You know? And, like, he's a Gemini. And there was one girl I dated who was a Gemini, but she was, like, she was different.
Guy Geminis are a little.
But she's also married.
Too much for me, too.
Oh, really?
I just, no. There's only one person I can think of that is a guy that was a Gemini, but he also was, he didn't fuck me over. He didn't fuck me over. I'll give him that, but still.
Kenza's mom is almost a Gemini. She's on the cusp.
Both of my goddaughters are Geminis.
Ew.
Again, to the point, because I suck at this. But they were doing an episode, and the guy they were talking about was a Pisces. And this girl, her knee-jerk reaction, her name is Ash, and her knee-jerk reaction is, ugh, fucking Pisces, I hate them. And I was like, well, I hate Geminis, boo, so that's cool. And then her response was, I'm sorry, my mom was a Pisces. I've had a lot of bad experiences. And I was like, that's legit my excuse for not liking Geminis. So that's fine. I guess we're on the same page, boo.
You guys can be homies.
Right? Which is funny, because outside of that, I feel like her and I would be able to vibe if we were sat down in the same room.
No, Otto, please don't attack me.
He just wants some cuddles.
I know, I'll give him cuddles, just not on the cords.
Yeah, that's fair. Alrighty, so, if you noticed, her name is hard for me to pronounce.
Yes.
That's because she was born in Trillenburg,
Scania,
which is the southernmost historical point of Sweden.
Sweden. Swedish.
So she's from Trillenburg.
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 Yeah, they're pretty white over there too.
They speak Danish,
which is pretty white.
Is it?
You should probably take that out of the podcast. That was a little racist. They gotta pay to listen to that.
Okay, so she's born in Scania, which is the southernmost historical province of Sweden.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, but this goes down in the U.S., right? So, like, she came over here to the United States.
No.
Oh, no, this is taking place over there?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Continue. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So, her parents were named Ingrid and Johan.
Johan.
And she does have a younger brother whose name is Tom.
Are you fucking serious?
His name is Tom.
Fucking Tom.
So, from the get-go, she's always been a bad bitch. She graduates high school and immediately puts on her boss babe pants and travels to London.
Fuck yeah.
Where she earns her bachelor's degree in international relations.
Good for
her. At the London School of Economics. She kept on steamrolling full steam ahead and travels to New York, where she gets a dual master's in journalism and international relations in Columbia. Now, her family is a family of journalists. She was raised in this kind of, you know, in this kind of world. Her mom was, like, pregnant with her when they were, like, her mom was pregnant with her while they were in America doing a huge story.
Damn.
But, like, her family traveled as reporters to begin with, or as journalists to begin with, and when they had their children, didn't let that stop them. So they did travel a lot. They still wrote. They did everything. So she's been around this her whole life. And so when she was grown, like, when she hit that age, she was like, I know what I want to do, and I'm going to fucking do it. And she did.
Damn.
She got up. She moved to London. She got her degree. Turns around, gets her master's degree in journalism and international relations at Columbia. And then she takes these degrees. She becomes a journalist. And some of the publicators who feature her work include Time Magazine, New York Times, Vice, State, The Guardian, etc. Like, she makes it into these big journals. And she just keeps on rolling. She loves what she does. In 2016, she's given the Hansel Meith Prize by Zeitspiegel. I'm wanting to try and say it German-esque because it is a German publication, and then you yelled at me for how I said stuff earlier, so now I don't want to say it. Yeah. Zeitspiegel. She got it for Best Digital Reportage for a piece titled Exodus, which was a report on climate change and nuclear weapons testing in the Marshall Islands. And that was published by Studisch.
Oh, fuck if I know.
Right? Look at me and tell me. Studisch.
Studisch. Zooting.
Zeitung. Which is based out of Munich and is one of the largest newspapers in Germany. So it's Zeitung is the secondary word. I don't know what that first one is because I suck at language.
Yeah, it looks right.
Sure. I don't speak German. I speak American who thinks they speak German.
Right.
There's a very big difference.
Very big difference,
yeah. Very big difference. Uh-huh. I was taught by a German. She was born and raised in Germany. But that doesn't mean... No, I still speak German.
Like, yeah, it's really, how you speak
it. Like a sad white girl.
Like a sad white girl.
Like a very sad white girl.
I feel that. I really do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, just imagine me attempting Spanish.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Probably sounds worse than me.
Exactly.
And that's why I stick to sign language. Mm-hmm. I don't have to actually speak anything.
Yeah, but heaven forsake, your pinky's out of place and you said something else.
I know, right? Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. So, lots of big things happening in her life. She's good at what she does and she writes about things that she's very passionate about. Moving forward a little bit, 2017. Kim is now living in Copenhagen with her boyfriend. And his name is like Ole Stubbe.
Ostobe.
O-L-E-S-T-O-B-B-E.
Ostobe.
Ostobe. I love it so much. So, August 10th, they are actually packing everything up to move to Beijing.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's her last day in Copenhagen, and they're doing a going away party to celebrate the fact that they're going to Beijing. Like, how cool is that,
first of all? I mean, from everywhere to everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's all over the place in her life, and she just doesn't want to slow down, and I love that for her. Now, while preparing for this going away party, she receives a text message from a man named Peter Madsen, which is a Danish entrepreneur that Kim was attempting to get in touch with, like, earlier in the year, like, months prior. She was hoping to interview him, and he texts her and offers her an interview aboard his midget submarine, UC-3 Nautilus, and she agrees. So she's like, it's our last day here. I finally have a chance to write this piece. I'm going to take it. So she ends up putting off going to her going away party to go do this interview with him. It's supposed to only take 2 hours, so she's just going to be late coming back to her party. And the party was located not too far from the docks that she's set to set off from. Like visual distance, like not that far at all. So they were smart, having a little bit of a get together. I think it was on a restaurant patio. I may be wrong about that, actually. Let me double check it. But she was like, it's fine. I can just be a little late. And then we'll celebrate later into the evening with our friends. And then we'll go tomorrow. So she schedules this for 8 p.m. It's only supposed to last 2 hours. She gets on the submarine, shoots one last text to her boyfriend, and then they depart. And finally, 1:43 a.m., after frantically trying to call her, after searching the docks, after asking around to see if anyone ever saw the, like, saw anything come back into port, he calls and reports her missing. So her boyfriend is on top of it. She's supposed to be gone for 2 hours. So from 10 p.m. until 1:43, he calls pretty fucking immediately. Like, it makes sense. Like, okay, sure, it's only 2 hours. Maybe it went over a little bit. Going over by an hour isn't all that much, so that puts us at 11. So taking another hour to search the docks, that puts us at 12. And then you have that, like, hour and a half to just pure panic before you finally call the cops. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
He wanted
yeah.
to give her the time, but, like, still.
It's an interview. You never know. Maybe he was giving her a whole bunch of juicy details, you know. Longer.
Yeah. Well, it's also concerning because she is on this submarine. They are in the submarine underwater. So what if there's a mechanical failure? What if there's these kinds of issues?
True.
Right? So he's stressed. He calls the cops. There's not much they can do. She's an adult. You can't really report a missing person until 24 hours later anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not much they can do. Thankfully, though, the Nautilus is seen in Kogue Bay, which is a canal that's not too far away, at 10:30 the next morning. So he comes up to the surface 10:30 the next morning, another boat sees him. Okay, cool. There they are. I wonder what happened. Maybe just a malfunction? Who knows? Because at 11:30, the boat begins to flounder. However, it is the understanding of the police and everyone official that there wasn't a reason for it to have sunk.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything mechanically wrong with it.
So someone did it, potentially.
So it is possible that it's, like, it did take on water, it did sink, it did fall, it's gone. It floundered. But they don't know if it actually was done on purpose or not. When this happens, the only person that is able to be recovered is Peter.
Dead or alive?
Alive.
Alive.
So, Peter was rescued immediately, and when the police brought him in, they charged him with negligent manslaughter. Because his story is he just doesn't know where Kim was. He dropped her off on land, and that was it. But she's still missing. And it became apparent pretty quickly that that was not the case. So the police immediately think that he scuttled the submarine, and they take him into custody. They take all of his belongings. They book him. They think it's negligent manslaughter. They believe that she's still on that ship and that he let it sink. But they didn't have to hold him for very long because 11 days later, Kim's torso washes up on the beach.
Just her torso?
Just her torso.
Hmm.
What kind of fish did that?
Oh, God.
So this is actually the second episode that I have done on somebody ending up in the water. And the first episode was actually somewhat similar, where it was just the torso that was found. With that one, though, she was pregnant.
Oh.
And her torso was found, and the baby was separate from the torso. But the baby was fine, and the baby seemed to have had less decomp than the torso.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
So that case is my Gone Girl case.
Yeah.
It's Lacey Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good case to look into.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, so... But you see, the thing is Peter's original story of, well, I dropped her off and then I just don't know what happened, didn't work out when her torso was found 11 days later with 15 stab wounds in it that seemed to locate mostly around her, like, her gender region.
Yeah. Her vagina.
Yeah. Well, her vagina, her uterus, all of that.
Yeah.
All of that, right? Right there. Which, in most cases, tends to show resentment towards women.
Yeah.
Mommy issues. Mm-hmm. Colossal fucking mommy issues.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so when that was found, he changes his story and testifies that Kim died on accident when the hatch falls and smacks her in the head. And in an attempt to avoid blame, he just kind of yeeted her body into the sea.
Okay. But what about the stab wounds? What about
the stab wounds, though?
So, did the fish do that? Did the fish shank her?
Yes. So I really do appreciate the police in this case, because not once were they stupid about any of this, like it would have been if maybe this case happened in America.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sorry, but so many of our police forces are just not handled the way they could be, mm-hmm. I think. But obviously no one's taking this at all. And once court started to kind of pick up, and once they started to really actually, like, run trials and start to persecute him and everything, persecution presented videos found by the police on Peter's computer as evidence. Now, these videos depict.
And it's prosecution.
What did I say?
Persecution.
Prosecution.
Basically just like that.
Yes. Dude, I don't talk today. So, these videos depict women being murdered. Like, actually being murdered. First of all, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Second of all, they brought in witnesses stating that these people have seen Peter watching those videos. Now, these videos, they go into a little bit more depth as to what these videos contain. And most of it's specifically decapitation, as well as asphyxiation, specifically during sex. I would like to take a moment and note that there's absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying specific erotic or autoerotic asphyxiation,
No kink shaming
here. Yeah, there is no kink shaming here.
Yes, for sure.
The important part to note, though, is that so long as it is practiced safely,
and no one dies,
and all parties are of legal age and are fully consenting,
and no one dies.
And no one dies.
And no one dies. That's pretty much the main part.
Practice yeah. safely part.
And over 18.
Yes.
18 is legal.
Yes. So, again, like, we don't kink shame here. If that's your thing, that's your thing. Like, go off, boo. Just make sure that it's safe. Make sure that everyone's consenting and make sure that everyone's of age. And that's cool. Like, do your thing. We're not here to judge that.
Right.
We are going to judge this bastard, though, because he was watching people die.
And he's watching people
getting murdered. I don't care who you are. There is no one who's going to consent to that.
No.
So, now, when they did all of the DNA testing on Kim's body, he did not have any DNA on it. Like, none of his DNA matched anything that was found on her body. However, it spent at least 11 days in the ocean.
True.
So,
anything was pretty much like...
Yeah, that's going to be scrubbed.
Gone.
There's tiny little itty-bitty fishes who are going to eat everything, so...
Yeah.
However, even with this, they are actually able to find traces of semen.
Wow.
The the things that they took off of Peter's person when they arrested him involved her underwear. And that is where they find the semen. So they don't find anything on her body. I kind of jumped ahead of myself when I said semen. Sorry. But so on his person, when he gets arrested, is her underwear.
It's really weird.
That's disgusting.
It's really weird.
So disgusting.
Oh, God.
Now, these underwear have traces of his semen. So there wasn't anything on her body, but her underwear had his semen on it. Mm. Even though they have this evidence and they presented it, Peter denies ever having ejaculated during his time with Kim.
He's just trying to lie at this point. Like, he's just like, well, so maybe they'll believe it.
There?
Maybe they'll believe it.
Like,
she put it there.
Dude. In these cases, these guys get so, like, they think they're so clever when they do shut like that. Like, another one of the cases that I did, the guy said that she asked him to perform oral on him, and then he's like, yeah, sure, okay. And then afterwards, she was pestering him for more, and he said no. And so what she did, according to him, was spit back up his ejaculation, placed it inside of herself, and then said that he raped her. No, he's an asshole, and he raped her. Like, that's not what people do.
Yeah.
If you can't do that.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
That happened in a different case that we covered before you became my co-host.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gross.
That's gross.
It's gross. It also involves somebody's kid dying.
That's sad.
Well, we don't know if she died. She is still missing.
Oh. She's dead. She's not dead.
It's heartbreaking, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but, like, seriously, though, like, you saved her undies, you dumped her body, and then you just wanked it? Like, what happened?
I'm still waiting to see if he admits to stabbing her, because those stab wounds just seem to have
appeared out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. The fishes did it. I'm sorry, I forgot. They shanked her.
There are shank fishes, right?
Fucking shank fishes. Get you every time.
Those, what's the sharks with, like, the sword nose?
Swordfish?
No, there's sharks that have, like, a serrated nose.
Oh. Yeah.
Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. So I don't know my fish names.
Okay, anyways. So, October 6th, and I don't know how the fuck they were able to do this, but the Swedish police divers used the assistance of cadaver dogs to find Kim's head, legs, her clothes, and a knife that were all wrapped in plastic bags in the surrounding water.
Hmm. How do you get cadaver dogs? They swim now?
I don't know. How?
Put little doggy, like, scuba dive?
Well, how would they be able to help with the scuba diving? Their noses are encased in their thingy.
True.
It's not like they'd be able to just sniff it out underwater. So then, like, are cadaver dogs so strong in their field that they're able to just sit on the boat and be like, yep, there's a body down there. Like, what?
Unless they took him down in, like, some kind of, like, machine or something, you know?
But, like, how is that machine still going to let them smell the water?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because they definitely cannot scuba dive, because they're,
no,
you know, dogs.
They're dogs. Well, and, like, the cadaver dogs work because they smell.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, even if cadaver dogs could dive, they still couldn't help with the smell.
Some special
so
fucking dogs.
So my thought process is just they were on the boat, and they were just, maybe the smell just...
Yeah, they kind of got, like, a general idea.
I don't know. But yeah. It worked. It fucking worked. Because they were able to recover her head, her legs, her clothes, and a knife that were all separately wrapped in plastic bags and just tossed into that surrounding water area. Her head, however, when found, did not have any blunt force trauma on it, like Peter claimed would happen.
Oh, that's right, because the hatch hit her.
Yeah, the hatch hit
and
her.
And then he yeeted her body.
So, the hatch didn't actually hit her. And so then he goes, oh, well, I lied about that too. What actually happened was that she was below deck while he was on the top deck, and I guess, I don't know, by some crazy miracle, a poisonous gas just filled below deck, and it killed her, but it cleared before I went down there. Whew, thank God. And when I found her not breathing, I got really nervous, so I cut her up into little pieces and just threw her into the ocean.
What about those stab wounds? Did she do it to herself? Did she stab herself? Because of the poison gas, it made her do it, right?
Oh, craziness. My gosh. Now, thankfully, they were able to run tests on her lungs because her lungs were still intact.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, his story still didn't hold up. So, October 12th, 6 days later, 6 days after they find her bodies and everything. Yeah, 6 days after they find her body parts, a saw is found in the water and one of her arms, like the last one of her arms, I think. Let me see. So yeah, we're still missing both of her arms. So one of her arms is found and a saw is found. And both of those are in the same kind of bay area where her torso was found. So they have almost all of her.
Almost.
Thankfully, the courts understand that he fucking did it.
Well, obviously.
And they charge him. January 16th, 2018, Peter is charged with murder, indecent handling of a corpse, as well as sexual assault.
Ugh.
See, if this was done in America, then it never would have gotten this far.
Probably, yeah.
I'm a little upset. I've seen one too many stories that don't pan out for American women. The prosecution theorized that Peter tortured her before killing her, likely by strangulation or by slitting her throat. Now,
cat on sheet.
Don't. You scared me. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here talking about murder, and you point behind me where there's a glass door that leads to the outside with a scared ass look on your face. What do you think I thought was behind me right now?
There's a cat.
You fucking scared me.
Sorry.
Hi, Wanda. Hi, baby. Okay, anyways. Now, remember, charged is not the same as...
convicted.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
I left half my brain in Puerto Rico, guys. Sorry. Anyways, so he's charged with murder, indecent handling of a corpse, and sexual assault. This prosecution theorized that he tortured her before killing her, likely by strangulation or by slitting her throat. Trials didn't start until March 8th, and the Copenhagen courthouse, their trial ended up only lasting a month and a half, which was actually, it's pretty short for a murder, for a murder charge.
Gah! Cats!
Okay. Anyways, so this trial lasted a month, and that's where we kind of see some of the, like, what I was saying earlier, prosecution presented videos, they presented the fact that her underwear had his semen in it.
Fucking disgusting. On his possession.
On his possession when he, like, I'm sorry, but when you're trying to sink your own boat to get rid of evidence, why did you take her underwear with you?
Yep.
Fucking psychotics. Fucking creeps, man. Now, thankfully, April 25th, 2018, he is convicted on all three charged and sentenced with life.
Nice.
Great, right? Happy ending, right?
Should have killed him.
Except for on the 26th when Peter attempts to appeal. Thankfully, the High Court of Denmark upheld his life sentence. I have a little more to talk about, but we're gonna fast forward to 2020 really quick. To his prison escape.
Hell yeah.
So October 20th of 2020, Peter escapes from prison, and he did this by threatening a prison employee, which was one of their psychologists, with a quote-unquote pistol-like object.
Pistol-like
object.
Could have just threatened to cough on him. It was 2020.
So he is able to escape with an item that is only referred to as a bomb belt, quote unquote. And so he gets the fuck out of Dodge with a pistol-like object and a bomb belt.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if he made the threat that he had a bomb and they let him escape so that there was a less likely incident of an actual bomb exploding inside the prison. Because he only got a whopping 500 feet away from the prison before Bomb Squad was deployed. He was surrounded and he got his shit rocked.
Nice. Should have just shot him.
This is Denmark. They actually care about people there.
Oh. They should have just killed him.
Is that my Kyle?
Hi, Omar.
Hi, you.
Well,
oh, okay. But, yeah, he only made it 500 feet before they got his ass. So I'm wondering if they let him escape so that they can, like, neutralize this bomb belt threat outside of the prison.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it was really a prison escape or if they just let him walk so that they can fuck his shit up later.
Or just add another sentence to him.
Life in prison is life in prison.
I mean, yeah.
I'm gonna pop back to August 18th. Where police reopen and re-examine a case from 1986. Her name was Kazuko Takonya, and she was 22. She was a Japanese student from Tokyo who was traveling around Europe in 1986. And her stop in Copenhagen, which was her first stop on her multi-part journey, was the last place anyone ever heard of her.
Well...
She never made it home, and a few weeks after she was set to return back, there was a black bag that was found washed up on Bridge Harbor that contained her lower half with, like, her legs and everything, and a few weeks later, a secondary bag was found with the rest of her body.
It's like some Dexter shit.
Yes.
Before Dexter.
But it matches this Kim case closely enough that they reopened it to look into it to see if Peter potentially did it. Now, this was back when he would have been 15.
Wow.
So they did look back at everything. They did kind of reopen it. They never found any of her belongings. So, like, all of her bags that she had brought with her, any of that, nothing was ever found. Just her body parts in the bags. And that was it.
That's weird.
No personal effects, nothing.
Yeah.
And it took them quite some time to even, like, figure out who she was.
Well, if she was just, like, backpacking or whatever, they're not gonna, you know, she probably didn't have very much stuff to begin with.
I don't know how extensive her trip was, if she was backpacking or if she was, like, hotel hopping or what. But all I know is she had a multi-part trip that was taking her across to Europe. And Copenhagen was, like, her first or even second stop. And that was it.
Damn.
So they did reopen this and thinking that he had a part of it, but they were never able to link it with anything with him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they match though.
Yeah. It's so the question is, was 15-year-old him doing shit? Do we don't know anything. I didn't get a chance to really look into his history. So was he there when his father or when his a role model of his did something, and since they got away with it, he thought he could too.
Or maybe he just made a mistake. Maybe it was actually an accident.
No.
The first time, and...
Oh, so, but 15, though.
I mean, most people who are, schizophrenic and or psychopaths are capable of doing things like that are diagnosed before they're even 21.
That's
diagnosed
fair.
In their teens.
That's fair.
You know, start out killing animals and enjoy taking life, and then maybe something accidentally happens, and then you're like, oh shoot, I like this, and then, oh, I got away with it.
If you like that kind of stuff, you should look into the Slender Man killings or attack, because the girl didn't actually die. But there's a case that involves three teenage girls.
Yeah.
It's a good one. You should look into it. But anyways... So, yeah, no, he would have been 15, so it's a little tidbit to think about. Did he accidentally do something? Was he there when somebody else did something and he thought he could get away with it? Is it just a happen, like a coinkydink?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this something, a case that he saw when he was a kid and he decided he wanted to replicate it?
Also true. I mean, if he lived there his whole life, he would have known about it.
Is this, I don't know. Part of me feels like this is something he planned to do from the get-go because he had the knife, because he had the saw, because he had the plastic
It was
bags.
A submarine, right?
Yes.
Why the fuck would you have a saw on a submarine?
I don't know. Like, what would I've never been in a submarine.
What would you be sawing? I mean, I've never been in a submarine either, but my uncle was in the Navy and worked on submarines.
It is important to note, he is an entrepreneur who built this submarine himself.
Probably to kill women.
I guess.
Maybe he, like, killed her, and then when the boyfriend or husband, whatever it was, kept calling, he, like, panicked. So that's why he sunk the boat to give himself, like, an alibi.
If they were in the submarine together, those calls weren't going through.
Well, not unless they had what if they had surfaced?
How do you have service under the ocean?
Surfaced.
Oh, had surfaced. I understand. I understand that. Well, he would have had to have surfaced to yeet her body.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Unless there's, like, a little chute, like, he just, like, put her body in it and then pushed it out. And then opened up a door and it just...
This isn't a space station, my dude.
It's an ocean. It's basically the same thing, just water.
True. So, a little tiny light at the end of the tunnel to make you sad. After her death, her family and friends started the Kim Wall Memorial Fund, which was aimed at funding female reporters so that they can cover stories of subcultural value. So Kim really liked a lot of the, like, looking into culture, looking into conflict, looking into those, like, big media catching, like, definitely gonna piss some people off kind of stories.
Yeah.
She talked about, like, the impact of nuclear weapons on climate change. That's going to piss off a shit ton of people.
Yeah, especially everyone in the nuclear warhead business.
That's one of the things that she won one of her awards on.
Yeah.
So, but she, they were able to kind of sustain this by doing memorial runs. And the first one took place on August 10th of 2018, which was the first anniversary of her murder. And people walked or ran, well, people around the world ran or walked in a certain distance for her memory. So it kind of makes me way too excited that they were able to do it worldwide.
Yeah.
So, like, they just spread the word and then people did their own thing to walk and recorded it and put it on social media and stuff like that, which was super, super cool.
Yeah.
Which, hey, October 10th, or not October 10th, August 10th has passed, but next year, guys.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind if you go walking on the 10th. So October 17th, she got nominated for PRIX Europa's Outstanding Achievement Award, which is a Journalist of the Year award. She was only nominated for that one on November 19th. Her parents published a book in her memory titled Broken Om Kim Wall. And then there's some other words in another language. But in English, it means When Worlds End. I don't want to butcher this beautiful language because, yeah. Because it's me and I want to do it justice and I can't, so I'm not gonna.
There you go.
The book came out in English in 2020 under the title A Silenced Voice, and it was translated by Kathy Stropna. Doubling back to 2018, her boyfriend relayed his experiences with the media coverage about the case in a Danish newspaper. Weekendvolden. Volden?
Crazy. So,
lots of coverage on this case.
I bet. I mean, that's kind of, like, super random, especially someone who...
But, like, how stupid are you to reach out to somebody and make an appointment and be like, hey, you got things going on. You got a family that's gonna miss you. You wanna come over to my murder submarine?
My murder submarine? Yeah, so I mean, I think that's, like, the weirdest part is just, like, why her?
Yeah,
like,
why
after months? Unless, you know, and we may never know, maybe that wasn't what was intended. What if there was, like, what if he had nuclear warheads on there and she discovered it and was going to tell everybody, you know? I mean,
I highly doubt that simply because, I'm pretty sure they were able to recover his boat or his submarine to some extent.
Yeah.
And they would have found that.
Yeah. But I mean, that's so, like, random. Like, if you're going to murder someone, you murder, like, someone who isn't going to be missed. You know, someone
but
who doesn't have...
how vibrant and beautiful she is.
Oh. She looks like a reporter. I know that sounds weird, but, like, no, she looks like a reporter.
She's so pretty and so vibrant.
That's crazy.
And she was so passionate about everything that she did. Oh. Here's the asshole who killed her. There's a lot on him and, you know, all of his, like, dirty business dealings and like, his disgruntled partners about him, like, cutting them out of shit and, like, there's a lot of history about him specifically that just, like, he's been a dirtbag since the beginning.
He looks like a bad guy in a movie.
But, like, not even the bad guy. Like, the bad guy's, like, shitty henchman.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Then the one that tries to take over but then somehow gets himself killed.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the one, like, the bad guy has this, like, super serum, and the bad guy wants to use it for something very specific, but his henchman is a dumbass and injects all of it. Now he's just this ugly, super, like, mutated bitch.
Yeah. Yep. Bitch. Interesting. Good story. Different. At least it wasn't the husband this time.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of break from that.
Yeah, since it's always the husband.
No, it's not. I take pride in the fact that I have the relationship with my husband, because I get to call him that now, with my husband, that if I suddenly go missing or, like, disappear or die, at least 12 different people, friends, coworkers, family, are all going to jump to his defense and be like, nah, 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 he would never touch her. He would never hurt her.
Then I'd be in the background going, Kyle did it!
Would you though?
Kyle did it! Yeah, just because of this moment right now.
I don't know. If, like, of the two of us, I think I beat him up more than he could ever think to beat me up on a daily basis.
I would murder you myself and then frame him just to prove a point.
Except for now I have the evidence. Thanks for confessing ahead of time, you dumbass.
But prove it.
I won't get hearsay. I'm dead.
I'll delete this.
Okay, sure.
I don't know. I'll think of something else.
You'll have to kill me before I post it.
That wasn't me.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower. She even got me on camera.
So Kyle thoroughly dislikes my taste in music because I like to listen to, like, the lyrics. Of the things I listen to are always kind of iffy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was playing that song on the car ride just because it was in my playlist. And he skipped it. He's like, I hate that song. And I was like, why? And he's like, it's literally about a guy repeatedly cheating on his girlfriend. Why don't you hate that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Because it's catchy?
It's catchy.
Yeah.
And so then we were driving to his parents' house. And I was slightly annoyed because I was like, because he, like, completely turned off the radio because he just really didn't like it, which is fine.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Which
is fine because I also don't love his music all of the time.
Yeah.
But I was kind of razzing him about it and teasing him about it, and I mentioned it to his mom, and she goes, oh, you mean this song? And she reaches over to her computer, clicks on, like, three things, and then it's playing on the loudspeakers that go across all their whole house.
That's fantastic.
And then she stood up, and she was, like, dancing with me and singing it to me, and Kyle was like, I'm going home.
I love his mom. She's
great.
Oh,
my God. His mom is the best. And that was the moment that I was like, yep. Yep. These are my people.
It's your family. Not being underneath this little tent made me tired.
Yeah. Need some dinner and go to bed. I have a headache.
You working tomorrow?
As of right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have any more sick days.
Oops.
Alrighty, my friends. I'm sorry if this episode was a bit more laissez-faire than usual. I will get back into the swing of things. Unfortunately, I am just now coming back from a 2-week vacation. 1 week, which was Puerto Rico. Thank you, Kyle, for planning that. I appreciate it.
Good job, Kyle.
But yeah, no, we're going to get back into it, and we're going to hit it hard, and we're going to definitely make sure that we actually make some content for you guys. Yeah. Catch us on Munchkin Mondays with Bloodhaven's stream over on Twitch.
Yes.
I've been doing that pretty regularly. Hashtag Team Fuck Cup.
And I do another podcast, too, with Bloodhaven on Tuesdays, right, where we kind of just really talk about shit.
I love that.
One week we made waffles.
Oh, that's fine.
They were pretty good, yeah. We had two different mixes, and, like, we, like, compared them.
Nice.
And it was, and then the video cut out, so, like, it's, like, us making waffles, and then you don't see anything, you just hear us.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, but, yeah, so I do that podcast, too.
Oh, cool.
It's with a bunch of dudes.
Nice.
And Chris. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I might have to hit you guys up for that one time.
Yeah.
Wait, you do it on Tuesdays?
Tuesdays.
Like, yeah. After work?
10:45 a.m.
Oh.
In the morning, yeah. Before work.
No. Ugh, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's closer to you.
Yeah, that's why I said maybe, because I realized where it is.
Yeah, he's not that far. I've just been going straight to work, so it works out.
That's fair.
Yeah, gives me some time away from home.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, also, you got any stories? You got any recommendations? You want to yell at us because we suck? That's fine. Go ahead and send us an email.
We enjoy feedback.
casualcasualties@gmail.com. That is always linked in the show, in the notes underneath all of our episodes. We also have a Patreon, if you so desire. That link should be there as well. We have an Instagram. I will get better at posting. I'm sorry. And I think that's it, actually. You got anything you want to add?
No. We'll be back next. It was going to be part two.
Yes, our next episode is going to be part two of the Rajneesh
movement.
Yes.
And I quote unquote that movement part of it because it was a cult. Let's be honest.
It was a cult.
Yes. But we'll be part two and let you know what got really fucked up in good old Oregon. Fuck Oregon. No offense, guys. But yeah, so I think that's probably going to be our next episode. And then I have a couple ideas. I just haven't really done any research on it.
Nice.
One, I found it in a magazine.
My head is empty, so.
It's fine. But it was pretty casual. I mean, they wrote a news article about it, so it's pretty casual.
Right? Yeah. Totally.
Magazine article, sorry.
Yeah.
Difference. They only come out once a month. Cool. So, yeah. That's really about it. Thanks for listening. And once again, sorry if we suck.
For joining us on our casual crusade.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah.